Well, good morning, everyone. It is good to be back this morning with you. We had an amazing holiday, lots of fun, lots of adventures, or as my kids say, sermon illustrations. We had a really good time away, and I was so pleased to know that I was leaving the preaching when I was away in really good hands. So, for the last 2 weeks, you've had some awesome preachers that have come in my absence. And I'm so thankful for Larry and Dave, who can handle the Word of God so well, and their willingness to step in and do so. I just want you to know I'm also thankful for Pastor Steve, who took the first week as Bonnie, Katie, and I headed for Florida. And then Kara joined us after a week because she's going to get a week off work. But I'm so thankful for all of those guys who are willing to step up and preach. Now, 2 weeks before I left, we had been in this cave with David, 1 Samuel 24, 1 to 7. And you might remember that David, that first week, was in the cave. Saul came in, and David had an opportunity to expedite his leadership by taking Saul's life as he came into that cave to relieve himself. David had an opportunity there, it looked like, to expedite him becoming king. But it would have been meeting a legitimate goal in an illegitimate way. And his reverence for God, the fact that Saul was God's anointed, dictated to him what his actions should be, and he spared Saul's life. And then the next week after that, we talked about Saul. How did he get to that cave in the first place to relieve himself and end up in that place where basically his life could be taken? And we kind of followed all the decisions he had made. And you might be thinking today, okay, great, Scott, are we getting out of the cave today? Well, I'm sorry to disappoint. We're not. And it's not that we're going to be in the cave this week, but I want to talk about where the cave is. In fact, I want to talk a little bit about the series title, David in the Wilderness, because the wilderness is a place I think all of us have spent time in. David escaped to the wilderness to run from Saul, who was seeking to kill him. And that wilderness that David was in, for the most part, people did not live in or had no desire to live in. The Judean wilderness, it's dry, it's rocky, it's hot in the day, cold at night. It's devoid of all the comforts that those of that time might have enjoyed. And water was not in abundance other than a few times in a year. This is where David had to flee to, in an attempt to preserve his life. Now, there were places where water could be found, like the oasis at En Gedi, but they would not have been safe places for long for David as he was hunted by the reigning king of the land. So David moved around in the wilderness, and that wilderness became something different. That wilderness changed David. Wilderness. When you hear the word, what do you think of? What comes to your mind? You see, my first response to the word is not where David fled to. It's just not. It's the woods here in Ontario. You know, often the parks or the conservation areas where you can walk alongside a river or sit by a lake or follow a trail up the escarpment. And it's pretty nice. And maybe a better word might be the outdoors rather than wilderness. Unless we took you to the middle of Wabakimi Provincial Park and dropped you in the center of the 8,900 square kilometers that make up that park and leave you there with your clothes on your back. And we'd give you a backpack with a few supplies so you can make a go of it. Then, that would be the wilderness. You would feel the isolation. You'd feel the lack of comforts that we all really enjoy. And that phrase, unplugged, would take on new meaning as you tried to stay dry and warm, and the only company you had were all the critters you're now sharing the wilderness with. And I don't just mean bears and beavers. I'm talking about the bugs. lots of bugs. It would be a struggle. One, if you survived, most likely would change you forever. Now, come on, that's really not going to happen to any of us. But I think the experience of wilderness, I think we've all had that in one form or another. So let me pray, and we're going to explore some of the wilderness experiences. Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for Rachel and just the wonderful example she is, that she is being obedient to you and getting baptized. God, have your hand upon her in this coming week. I know the evil one never likes it when people get baptized, and I pray that you would send your angels around her to protect her this week and watch over her, give her a great week. Lord, I thank you for the worship that's already gone on here this morning, for we know you're present here with us, Jesus, your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Lord, I ask that you would forgive me my sins this morning, cleanse me, and Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and fill me up. Jesus, come preach this message with me. Father, I just can't help but believe, and I feel like I know that this morning as we go through this message, there are going to be many here, all of us, that have experienced wilderness. And Lord, some are going to be in it right now. So Father, I pray that you will love and care and speak to them this morning. God, I pray you just do a great work here. Lord, I'm not praying for people to be emotionally moved. Lord, you are in the business of transformation. So transform. I pray, Jesus, in your name. Amen. So David's in the wilderness. Saul was pursuing him. And I think we've established the wilderness is not a fun place to be. But what might be our experience with the wilderness if not out in the wilds of Judea? Well, have you ever had an experience with relational wilderness? All you want is that person that you know God has for you. You love the Lord, but you don't want to go through life alone. You want that special someone who will call you, will text you, and they will care about how your day has gone and really want to know. Someone that you can look into their eyes and know that the person looking back at you loves you. Yeah, that's what you desire. But you wonder, where have all the good guys gone? Where are all the girls that care about someone other than themselves? You know they're out there because you've seen them, because they're dating your best friend. But where's your sweetheart? And you're wanting to honor God with your life, but you're feeling lonely. Is that a relational wilderness? Or you are married, and it's not what you thought it would be. He does not talk to you like he used to. And she's always on social media, even when you're in the same room with her. I mean, you had a picture of how it would be, and marriage and feeling isolated was never a part of the equation when the person who is supposed to love you is right there. Is this a relational wilderness? How about employment wilderness? You're a hard worker. You have skills. Can't people see that? I mean, the jobs that you're qualified for keep going to other people, and you know they're less qualified than you. Or how about you trying to get more experience? You know, I mean, someone's got to give you a chance to get that experience if you're going to get more of it. Or the job that you have right now, it's not going to pay the bills. It's minimum wage. It's not going to cut it. But you keep plugging away at that job because something coming in is better than nothing coming in. But you have dreams. You have goals about that career. But you don't seem to be able to move towards it. And you feel like your life is in a holding zone or an employment wilderness. Or how about a financial wilderness? Woo. When will you ever get out of debt? When will you ever be able to have the ends actually meet? When will there be enough money for that month to cover all the expenses? You're working hard, but you're floundering. David may have had Saul chasing him in the wilderness, but you feel like you've got the debt monster coming after you. and as many minions coming after you, and they're not cute little yellow guys who say banana a lot. It's the hydro bill. It's the gas bill. It's that Visa, that MasterCard bill, and you're struggling to make the minimum payment. And yet you know you were not put on this planet to just exist, to just get by. And you feel it deeply. You're in a financial wilderness. Or maybe for you, it's a purpose wilderness. At night, you wonder why God put you here. And you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's more to life than you are living right now. And you see others, and they're living with passion and drive. And you want that in your life. But the Saul that seems to be hunting you is apathy. It's nipping at your heels. But you want your one and only life to make a difference. And it's not going to happen if you stay in bed, do nothing of significance. But it's getting harder and harder to get out of bed in the morning, and you sure feel like you are in your own personal wilderness. Now, there are many other forms of wilderness that some of you have experienced. David's wilderness was a very physical one. But I believe we all have an understanding of this saying, that everything is connected to everything else. It's true in our lives. Our life circumstances have an impact on our emotional well-being. And they're both connected to the depth or lack thereof of our relationship with God. The spiritual side of things. I mean, Dave Mills talked about relationship just last week. But with David, in his wilderness, there is something I think is really cool that is taking place in his life. You see, 1 Samuel gives us the details of what's happening to him and around him. But then there are the Psalms that give us these amazing insights into what's happening in David. 1 Samuel gives us the external, but Psalms give us the internal picture, and they are connected to one another. Psalm 57 is a psalm of David when he fled into the cave from Saul. Listen to the first verse. This is what he writes. Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me. For in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. David has fled into this cave in the wilderness to hide from Saul. But the cave is not the refuge. God is. And that word refuge, you got to wonder, what's its meaning? Well, in the Old Testament, a refuge was a physical place, a place of safety and security. In fact, they actually had cities of refuge. So if you had done something wrong by accident, you could flee to one of these cities and be safe while things got sorted out. But in the Psalms, the word's definition changes. It went from being a place you would flee to being a choice that you would make. And that choice was to see the Lord God as refuge. David had much to do with this change of definition. And David starts not with a plea to be saved from Saul, but mercy from God. Why? Why does he start there? Because he recognizes the sovereignty of God. And he draws confidence from that sovereignty. It's why God is his place of refuge. Saul is not calling the shots, no matter how it might look or even how it might feel at times. God is calling the shots when it comes to David and his protection, his safety. See, God is the refuge David seeks. And David goes on to write, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. I don't know if you can hear the confidence that David has and God's purpose being fulfilled in his life. Let me reiterate this, because there are times we can read verses like this and we kind of get a little off kilter, because we might be thinking it's saying, God, I want to see all of my purposes fulfilled. But that's not what David says here. He says that God will fulfill his purposes for David. And there is this wonderful, but hard at times to take verse in Romans 8:28 that might be applied here, and many of you will know it. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And that is where some people like to stop the quote. And stopping it there, you trust me in this, it will mess you up. Because it goes on to say, who have been called according to his purpose. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. David is hiding out in a cave. He is moving from place to place, trying to stay alive. In fact, he's putting considerable effort into caring for his men and their families, even as he's trying to care for his own. Where is the good? Where is the good in David's wilderness experience? David's good is refuge. I want this to be so clear. I want this to be clear for you because of the impact I believe it can have on each of our lives. Refuge is a good experience. It is a good experience. But what got David to refuge was a bad one. What got him there was a bad one. Saul seeking to end his life. And it was in the wilderness that David was led to refuge that is our Lord. Let me try to put this another way. David's in the wilderness, and he is running for his life. And while he is running for his life, he finds the life he's running to. David finds the life he's running to, and that is the Lord God. You know, my mind turns to the words Moses spoke to his people in Deuteronomy 30:20, that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. You see, David grows to a deep understanding of this in the wilderness. And the good word he uses is refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. Listen to more of the psalm, verse 3. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends his love and his faithfulness. Again, let me remind you, David's circumstances have not changed. But he goes on to write, I am in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. And then out of nowhere, verse 5, he writes this, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Why does this line of unfiltered praise and worship suddenly appear? Refuge. It's refuge. All these things are taking place in his life at parallel times. Him running for his life. God proving to David who he is. David finding safety and security in God. But these are running parallel in his life. I mean, David's being hunted, but God is with him. David is in the wilderness, but God is his refuge. Verse 6, they spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. David is not saying circumstances are easy. He talks about his distress. And yet he sees God's divine workings as the efforts to catch him keep backfiring on them. Verse 7, my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. steadfast. That's what David's heart is. Secure, unwavering, sheltered, as if it is within a great refuge. And his heart is in a refuge called the Lord God Almighty, ever-present, loving Yahweh. And because David is living from that place of security and hope, he worships. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the people. For great is your love reaching to the heavens, your faithfulness reaching to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. David is in his wilderness. And it's there, running for his life, he finds the life he's running to. He finds refuge. He finds that the Lord is his life. So what are the wildernesses that you find yourself in? Is it a relational wilderness? Is it an employment wilderness? Or maybe you're completely stressing out because you lack purpose. And you might be young and you're having fun, but you know, you feel it in your bones, you were created to be significant, not just exist, not just get by. You're not here to just to take up space. No. No. And you may never have described it like this before, but maybe within you, you're feeling that purposeless wilderness. You don't want to have that happen to you with your one and only life. You know, I didn't put this in my notes. Just in the past week, had some conversations with people. But I think there's other wildernesses. And for some, you know what a wilderness is? Retirement. It's a wilderness. What do I do now? I've got all this free time. You can find refuge with God in that place. You can find purpose with God in that place of retirement. Romans 8:28. You want, your desire is to be called according to God's purpose. Can I just tell you, knowing that, desiring that, does not mean an easy life. Oh my goodness. People have tried to sell that sometimes. It's baloney. It just is. It doesn't mean an easy life, but it means one full of purpose and meaning and making a difference and being significant. And maybe today you want to cry out like David, who said, I cry out to God Most High, to the God who will fulfill his purpose for me. Because that's what you want. My friends, I will tell you right now, it is the best life to live. But consider the cost. It means bowing your knee to God and saying, Lord, my life is not my own. My life is yours. And I want your purpose for me. Not my dreams. The dreams you have for me, God. And it's there. Your life, oh my goodness, it changes. It changes everything. And it's not easy, but it's wonderful. My friends, we all find ourselves in some kind of wilderness as we move through the lives that we live. And you might be in a wilderness for weeks. It could be months you're in a wilderness. Or sometimes, like David, it's years that you spend there. And that time is not wasted if we find refuge in God. If he becomes our refuge. And please understand, the wilderness for David was not full of Saul as he pursued David to end his life. The wilderness for David was full of God, because God was his refuge. And may your wilderness not be full of loneliness, not be full of the debt monster, not be consumed by apathy or what to do, a sense of purposelessness. Let it be filled with the Lord as you discover refuge in him. You know, David and King Saul both spent a lot of time in the wilderness. David was changed by it. He grew because of it. It made him a better leader, a better man, because of where he turned and whose purpose he sought to live out. Saul did not change for the good. Saul got more desperate, more insecure, as he sought to hang on to the kingdom that God had removed from him. The wilderness, we all are going to experience it. All of us. We're going to experience it in our own way. But what impacts us for good is God. Jesus with us in that wilderness. Refuge. And while you're in your wilderness, you might find the very life you're looking for. The very life you desire above all things. But it will come as God. It'll come as refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Do you know? Do you know that you have a Heavenly Father who loves you deeply? Who has unbelievable purposes for you? He wants his best for you. It comes in refuge. It comes in saying, God, my life is yours. And I understand that without you, oh my goodness, I don't know if this life is worth living. But with you, it changes everything. And it really does. Let God be your refuge in your wilderness. Let God be your refuge in the day-to-day. Walk with him. Talk with him. Know that he is your life. Let me pray for you. Father, this morning, I pray for my friends. I pray for my family. It is so good to be back with them. And Lord, I pray that those who right now are struggling, and maybe they're struggling at the point of bending their knee, Lord, say, in submission to you, would you help them? Help them to understand that you have your best for them. Lord, I pray for those who are in the wilderness, and it might be the whole, I can't see the forest for the trees. God, I pray you'll cut through everything that they might find you there. You will truly become their refuge. And with wisdom, guide them and direct them. Help them find that life you have for them. Father, I pray in ever-increasing ways that all of us, myself included, will understand this in a deeper and deeper way, that you are our life. Apart from you, we can't do anything. Jesus, you told us that. So Lord, I pray that our refuge would be you, that we'd always remain in you. And God, you would use us in such a powerful way to fulfill the purpose you have at this time in our generation. May you be glorified through our lives. Lord, you are our refuge. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.